Well, how positive are you? How optimistic are you? This is our time. We're going to take your phone calls with Eldon Taylor, questions, and also why don't you relate a story to us, how you're coping these days and what you're doing to keep that mind occupied. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Eldon Taylor with us. We'll get to your calls as well. Eldon, would you tell our great listeners about that free offer of Power of Optimism you're going to do for them?
Sure. They can go to my website. There's a link, actually, on Coast to Coast to my website.
Yes, EldonTaylor.com.
So either hook it up through there or just go into EldonTaylor.com. There's a banner on the page just for Coast listeners. Free Optimism Plus program. Click on that banner. It'll take you into a secure cart. It shows that it sells for $25.95, which it does normally. Once you put it in your cart, however, it will zero that amount out. There are two different soundtracks there. This is the patented InterTalk technology. It is George and my gift to you. It is one more way you can work on staying positive throughout this.
How important is de-stressing yourself to stay healthy?
It's critically important, George. Again, you know, if I allow the stress to build up, what happens is I increase my blood pressure. I build extra cortisol. I find myself releasing adrenaline. My ideation begins to track negative. I begin to wonder about the stress and what causes it. I build psychic tension. All of this is counterproductive to the optimal operation of our bodies and our minds. So doing what we can do to de-stress is one of the more important things that we should be doing now. You know, I know that a lot of people are walking. In some places, you're not even allowed to do that. But you can do exercise in your home, even if it's just calisthenics.
Sure. There's the Royal Canadian Air Force exercise booklet that you can pick up on Amazon. All your exercises you can do without equipment.
Wonderful. And you know, that's what we should be doing. Exercise is a great antidote to stress. And it's also really a great way to keep your cardiovascular system strong. So doing something like exercise, change the way you're thinking. You know, all the research shows that the idea of a self-fulfilling prophecy, we create through our perception, our expectation. And then that expectation predisposes how we see the world. So if my ideation is all negative, oh my God, what are we going to do? The world's coming to an end. I don't know. If that's where I am, I'm heightening stress. I need to change that ideation. I need to think of things that are positive, things that are inspiring. Maybe I see an inspiring movie. Again, I can laugh. Laughter is a great way. You know, if you're in your home and you're with your family, hug your family, hug your wife.
You got to stay 6 feet away from them.
Well, I don't think you do in your own home. And that hug releases oxytocin. So unless they're sick and you have them in another room, well, that nuclear family is already, you know, exchanged everything necessary that if someone's sick, you're all going to get sick. So, well, I'm assuming you have a healthy family. Just hug them. Get them together and just a big hug. Think of the things that you can do that increase the strength of your immune system, that put a smile on your face, that warm your heart. You know, listen, you can go online, and there are all kinds of ways that you can contribute. You can help others. You can do it online. And I'm not talking about giving money, just giving, you know, moral support to people. Social networking is wonderful for that. And helping others is helping yourself. Well, you know, I learned many, many years ago that one of the best therapies I ever employed with a client was giving them a list, or I should say that differently, having them make a list, keep a diary of good deeds. Do one good deed a day.
Absolutely.
And,
you know,
that strengthens our immune. Look around. And what, have you got a beautiful sky today? Is it pretty weather? Your wife is gorgeous? Or, hey, you're warm and you're comfortable and you're well-fed for the moment? You know, look, get a gratitude attitude. Find something to be grateful for.
Our producer, Tom Danheiser-Eldon, once in a while he'll be food shopping, and he will systematically pick somebody that he sees in the supermarket who is in line, preferably behind him. And when he gets to the cashier, he'll say, here's my credit card, run it now for them. And he pays their entire supermarket bill.
That's wonderful. I told him he'll never starve. Tom says he gets a warm, fuzzy feeling as a result. When he walks out, he feels good about that. His life is making a difference. He is helping others. He is paying it forward, and that's important help for the person, but it's also important for Tom. It keeps Tom positive. It keeps Tom feeling like life goes on and my life makes a difference. I have the ability to make the world lighter for some other human being.
Absolutely. And what do you mean by the imposter syndrome? What is that?
Well, you know, we're going to jump off track. We're actually going to Motivational Nudges, the book now. But and I wrote this book because there's so many people that ask me, I decided I wanted to change, but you know, I just wasn't able to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that stops me from making that change? I mean, what holds me back? And so then you start looking at the things that can hold a person back, you know, self-sabotage and defense mechanisms and implicit learning. I mean, we now know that implicit learning that we have in our early years, I mean, 1 through 4, 5, and 6, especially those early years, but even later, that implicit learning doesn't degrade like our explicit learning. So you can have Alzheimer's in advance, but the implicit learning that you acquired, and most of it takes on an emotional framework, that doesn't degrade. So one of the things that also holds us back is, as you mentioned, the imposter syndrome. And what is that? Well, it's formally defined as a situation where you feel that you don't deserve the success you have.
Interesting.
I knew an attorney, as a case in point, an excellent trial attorney. I shouldn't say I know. In Los Angeles, California, very bright man, Mensa member, okay? He went through law school and never had to work. So he felt counterfeit. Everybody had to work. Everybody had to study really hard. They had to go through all kinds of hoops and things. So he suffered this imposter syndrome. He didn't feel that he really deserved to be where he was. What I've learned about the imposter syndrome over the years is that we all suffer somewhat from that. There are aspects
in some form or fashion.
We all feel like, well, you know, maybe I don't deserve that, or if the world really knew who I was, if they knew all my secrets, you know, boy, that would destroy me. I mean, no one would have any respect for me, et cetera, and so forth. That's what it is. Two things to know about it, George. First, we all have them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not perfect. And if you recall, you and I had a conversation about this a few years ago. You know, there is this idea of our ideal self that is among our self-images that constantly is pushing us toward perfection. You know, this is who I should be. This is how I should respond. If in Freud and psychology, you know, we would probably, you know, this is not the ego. This is the ego and the superego. There we go. I got it out. This is the superego. It wants you to be perfect.
Good point. Let's take some calls for you now. Michael in Kansas to get us started. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Ilden. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hi, Michael.
That's kind of weird that you mentioned imposter syndrome. I've never heard that term before, but I do suffer from that for sure, you know, and that's weird. But I have a theory and observation question for you guys.
Okay.
About TV specifically. I believe that Americans have been manipulated and misguided and ultimately disabled through television. It has a hypnotizing effect, and it disables you. It holds your eyes, your ears, your brain, and your body in a state of helplessness, keeping you from moving so you can't disturb anything, keeps you from asking questions, keeps your eyes off the skies, of course. And Eldon had said something about hope making you mentally ill, and I think TV entities do the same thing, and I think we're being encouraged to turn on each other and being divided through media and television especially, and I wondered if you guys had any thoughts about that or...
All right, Eldon, I'll let you go first. What do you think of television as a medium to control?
It's a wonderful medium for control. And, you know, it's hard for me to think of it as being anything else if we are not selective about how we watch it, how much attention we pay to what we're being told. So first of all, Michael, there's something that for years was just denied. It got the label of predictive programming. What it amounts to is look for the agenda in whatever it is that you're watching in television, okay? You can watch a series and whatever you see, I mean, suddenly there is an issue that's brought, and predictive programming is designed to advance society, to move it forward. So if you think, for example, and I don't, in fact, I'm going to apologize and take just a second here. When I spoke about animal studies earlier, I don't like animal studies, but these studies are too powerful in what they show us. I've already received a comment that, you know, how could I be so insensitive to share these animal studies, even though I didn't do it? Well, the reason I did is because the message is so powerful. So now I'm going to, and again, with sensitivity, if you think about the gay community as a case in point, there was a time not long ago that the DSM manual called it a disease. Then we started to see a pace of relaxing attitudes. And how did we see that pace? We saw it in media. We saw it in entertainment. It became normal. It became natural. Then it became common. And today it's very, very common. And, you know, we just take it as part of our society. That's what predictive programming is about. If I want to change some aspect of society, I do it through entertainment. If I want to convince you of a policy, a propaganda, I can also do that through entertainment. And both of these have been done and are well documented. Now, there's a flicker rate that comes with television. The flicker rate is such that it brings about an altered state of consciousness.
Kind of mesmerizes you, doesn't it?
Well, it, you know, here's the, you know, I remember years ago a study was done where young people were incentivized with a pretty good reward to just maintain normal beta consciousness while they were watching television. All they had to do was maintain it for 5 minutes. Nobody maintained it for three.
How about those kids in Japan who were kind of mesmerized by a video game?
Well, you know, in Korea is probably, you know, when you think about these multiplayer games like Star Trek, and every Korean plays it, and, you know, they have dropped dead playing this game. They get so intense to it. You have the same kind of a thing. So back to your question, Michael. First of all, what happens when you sit in front of that television set is your brainwave activity is entrained and it slows down. It slows into a state that we call alpha. Now, I've testified as a expert witness on hypnosis in a court of law, and I can tell you what we say about hypnosis in a scientific sense. It is a heightened state of suggestibility. It is earmarked by a slowed brainwave pattern, alpha and theta. Your normal brainwave pattern is beta. So you are placed into this altered state of consciousness, hypersuggestibility, and now here comes the media message, the agenda. And or maybe it's a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I've argued for a long time they sell sickness through television. The gombo's coming to town. It's going to get you. But, hey, look, when it does, take ABC, and then they show you relax, supine position, being doted upon by some pretty lady, like there's a reward to getting ill.
And then the disclaimer at the end, you can't even hear it.
That's true. And you remember the restless leg syndrome story?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Michael, television is designed to program as much as it is to entertain. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, subscribe to like a YouTube TV and watch TED Talks. And, you know, if I'm going to get programmed, if I'm going to be in this altered state, this slowed brainwave, which is the same brainwave state they use in the technology called Suggestopedia for super or accelerated learning, well, then why am I not using that to learn something, to do something positive for myself? Most of the technologies we have today, they're somewhat akin to a physician's scalpel. You know, it depends on what you use that scalpel for as to whether it's good or bad.
Eldon, we're going to take a quick break pretty soon. We're going to come back and take final phone calls. Eldon Taylor with us. And don't forget his offer of a free MP3 audio to help you boost your optimism and to get you rolling again. And that is so important these days. It is so very important to be able to just stay positive. Eldon Taylor, our special guest here on Coast to Coast. Speaking of YouTube, don't forget our YouTube channel to grab. It's YouTube's Coast to Coast AM Official. That's how you find it in the YouTube search engine. And we've got a link at coasttocoastam.com at the top. It's free to subscribe, so go ahead and sign up for that too. Back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Eldon Taylor. Our final segment here as we take your calls, talking about staying positive and coping through this tense situation. Eldon, they talk about anxiety is at an all-time high as well with people in their homes. Why would people have anxiety in their home? Is it just the fact that they can't go out, or what? What do you think?
Well, it's mostly the forward thinking. You know, in anxiety, your home doesn't make you somehow impervious to anxiety. It's very common for people to have a lower level of anxiety in their normal, ordinary day. But when you lock people in to a house and they get the sense of confinement, isolation, and then they begin to worry about, you know, what's happening, do this future thinking, you're going to naturally build anxiety. Anxiety and stress, they're hand in glove. And And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, people vent that anxiety in self-destructive ways. I mentioned earlier that incidence of spousal abuse has increased significantly. We want to control these feelings, if you will. And the only way you can really do that is to use some of the antidotes that we've talked about. Change what you're thinking, you know, change how you view the world, change your perception. Do proactively all of these things, from exercise to utilizing entertainment for laughter purposes, to improving yourself, where you get, to helping others, to finding something to be grateful for. Long, long time ago, George, I learned something that was just kind of magical. And I've shared it with you before. I'm going to share it again because it is so magical. When you wake up in the morning, when you first wake up in the morning, say these words, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
And put a big smile on your face. Now, the thank you sets up my psychology. I'm not thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do today? You know, I mean, is this another same old, same old? Instead, I'm recognizing I'm alive, you know. Hey, that's great. And I'm well. I'm feeling good, you know. I'm here, and I can use this day for really creative ways. I can draw. I can paint. I can build puzzles. I can play with the kids. I can, you know, all of the things that, again, people say they never have time for, they have time for now. So if I live in today, I don't do this future thinking. I say to myself in the morning, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I force a big smile on my face. Well, that smile floods my system with endorphins. That's the body's natural opiate system. You know what? I do feel good. Here come the opiates, okay? That's how you start your day. That makes such a dramatic difference. That kind of an attitude will knock anxiety out.
Back to the phones we go. First-time caller Brian in Syracuse, New York. Good morning, Brian. Go ahead.
Good morning. I wanted to say thank you, Alden, for the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been kind of stuck in a anxiety, depression state, and your tips today will be helpful.
So stay strong through this thing, Brian. And is it the COVID-19 lockdown that's doing it to you?
Actually, it's the disruption to almost every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
It kind of sent me into anxiety for the first couple of weeks. I've had difficulty with college. I was switched to online classes that I've been accustomed to.
Absolutely. Some more tips for Brian, Eldon.
You know, I really sympathize with you, Brian. If you're a college student and you are taking classes online, professors were certainly not prepared to do that.
No, and people like to be with other students sometimes.
Of course they do, and the Internet is overwhelmed with traffic. So, you know, staying, it's a nightmare for college students. It's an absolute nightmare. And, you know, interrupting your normal routine, it's natural that you find that you're anxious, because typically, you have a pattern. You have times for classes that were all arranged this quarter. You knew where you were going to be and maybe who you were going to be with. And are you single, Brian?
He's gone.
Well, and it's even worse if you're single, because, you know, how do you date? How do you communicate with someone of the opposite sex? How do you even meet up with your buddies?
Cyber. Cyber world.
Yeah, you know, I really have a great deal of empathy and sympathy for that situation. But the advice is still the same. Whether you're married or you're single, As George said, it's a lion or a lamb time. And so you proactively change that thinking. It is set up a new routine. Maybe you get out of bed with that thank you, thank you, thank you, Brian. You force a big smile on your face, and then you go get your cup of coffee, and then you go exercise, and then you create a new routine. Create that routine around whatever you have to do with college, but, you know, get yourself a new schedule, a new agenda. Make yourself a sort of master plan for the day, how you're going to accomplish all the things that you would like to accomplish given the circumstances. And make that master plan on the basis of, look, like the city builds a master plan. They do that to ensure that the growth of the city and to ensure the health and wellness of the occupants. Well, make your master plan on that same basis. How am I improving myself? Where are the growth opportunities? And how do I promote my health and wellness?
Mitchell's with us in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Mitchell, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George. Normally I get kind of negative, and I'm an anti-communist person, and I will tell you that openly, and we'll talk about that next time. But I had an experience that was totally positive yesterday. When I went to go score some beer at my beer store, I got out of the store. I was, you know, getting ready to go home, and I'm getting out of the car, getting towards my car, and I see this guy. He's loading this giant amount of to-go packages out of this a joint. It's a Cuban joint right next door to the beer store where I go.
Like food and stuff like that?
What's that?
Food and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. It's a to-go. You know, it's a restaurant, but they're closed
but
now.
Yeah, everybody's to-go, sure.
Anyway, I'm not going to be negative. This was a positive thing. And besides that, I have another one. But look, so this guy comes out, and he's loading his car up with stuff. He's got a beautiful woman in the front seat, and he's got a kid in the back, and he's just packed it with, like, maybe 10 or 15 to-go orders. And so I go up to the counter because the food smelled so good. And I was like, well, can I get a to-go menu just to see what it was all about? Anyway, so what happened is this guy in his car that was getting ready to load out with us, he was wearing a mask, so I can't recognize him if I see him again. But he offered to buy me dinner. It was like a $13 a plate type of thing.
Really? How
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, man. And it was like, I was so, you know, I have money in my pocket, so I couldn't take it from just because I'm principal. But it was humbling, you know, and it felt good that there's, you know, good Christian and Cubans, they hate communists like I hate communists. So if I could, I would like to plug that restaurant. Would that be possible?
Where is it? In the Seattle?
Yeah, in Greenwood.
Yeah, go ahead. Just mention it real fast.
It's on 105th and Greenwood. It's called Gio's Cuban.
Gio's Cuban it is. What do you think of that, Eldon?
You know, I've never been there, but I wrote it down because I get to Seattle all the time. My sons are there. At least I used to get it there all the time. I'm going to try it out, Mitchell. But, Mitchell, what you just shared with us, that's an example of the kind of thing we can all do. And whether we're the receiver or the giver, whether it's accepted or it's declined, as in your instance, it nevertheless changes how we feel. It connects us again in a larger scale and rewards us with those good neurochemicals that help us feel good.
They sure do. Joe in Long Island, New York, let's get you in here. Joseph, go ahead.
You know the expression, wherever I go, there I am. So even if I'm on Gilligan's Island, I have to deal with myself.
Amen.
Now, you're mentioning a round table of concepts, which I think is maybe better. You know, not just saying I'll be positive, but you're mentioning altruism, diversification, creativity. An example would be Mick Jagger just wrote a melancholy song. He said, I used to have fun, but now I'm just a party of one. Living in a ghost town. And, you know, I think there's a danger in tapping into this bad news, this drumbeat. If you look at that movie, The Shining, with Jack Nicholson, I mean, he kept writing, all work and no play makes Jack a dull, you know, 100 times. And that to me represented, don't tap into one thing, especially a negative thing, constantly.
I agree with you totally, Joe. You know, that's, that, you know, changing our mentation, changing, you know, the kind of information that we've chosen to intake, you know. If I spend my time in front of the news channels listening 24/7 to all the statistics, et cetera, and so forth, I'm not only going to miss coast to coast, but I'm going to fill myself with all the wrong ideation. I'm just going to build that fear. So you're 100% right, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Let's get a couple more quick calls in here. Annie in Alabama's with us. Hi, Annie. Go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. You
sure
wanted
thing.
To know how people are coping with coronavirus.
Yep.
I'm losing a lot of sleep because I'm on the Internet 24/7 trying to get food, hand sanitizer. Somebody wants $770 out of St. Louis, Missouri, a big alcohol company, for 6 liters of alcohol that's worth no more than $20.
Jeez, don't do that.
Have to make my own hint. Well, I don't have that kind of money. There's no way I'd even think about it. But I turned them into the FBI. I spend my time talking to the FBI about people that are trying to rob me. There's another one in Connecticut, Brookfield, Connecticut. They're sending all the alcohol to the Red Chinese, and it's illegal. And they need.
And you're talking about sanitizing, rubbing alcohol, right?
To make hand sanitizer, yes, because you can't buy hand sanitizer. I have to make my own, and I use alcohol in my bird sanctuary to clean the bird dishes.
Well, there are a lot of people, Annie, taking advantage of this tense situation, and that's criminal all by itself, Eldon.
You're right, indeed. If you know, you say you're on the Internet, if you know where this company is that's doing that, make a phone call to their attorney general, the state's attorney general. Price gouging is illegal.
You got it.
Shut them down.
Taking advantage of people during a tense time
totally
is
wrong. Totally
horrible.
Wrong.
How do these people live with themselves?
I don't know, George, but there are folks in this world that will take advantage of other people, especially, you know, when they're down and when they're desperate. And, you know, as you know, I spent years as a criminalist. Lock them up. That's
yep.
all I've got to say. Lock them up.
Give us the free offer again before we go back to possibly one more call. Maybe not. Time is clicking in along. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Go to Eldon Taylor. That's ELDONTAYLOR.com. Or go to George Neary's Coast to Coast site. You all know where that is. And click on the link he has there to my page. There's a banner on the page that says for Coast to Coast listeners, your free Optimism Plus. Click that banner. You'll go into a secure shopping cart. It'll tell you that your MP3 is $25.95, but when you put it in the cart, it will zero it out. Now, I understand some people are getting the physical product, which is also $27.95. You'll still get that physical product free if that's what you do, but you're going to get charged the shipping on it. But the MP3 is absolutely free. Download it right now. You just, again, go to EldonTaylor.com. Go to Coast to Coast. That's where you want to go. Go to CoastToCoast.com. Click on the link that George has there to my page. Click on that banner and get your free program.
Eldon, my friend, you keep in touch and stay healthy, my friend, and take care of that third artery, would you?
I'll do that. Absolutely. Thank you, George. I always love talking to you.
Eldon Taylor. Again, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's his name, E-L-D-O-N, EldonTaylor.com. Not like Elton John, EldonTaylor.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Tomorrow for the first couple hours on Coast to Coast, pharmacist Ben Fuchs joins us from criticalhealthnews.com to talk about building up your immune system. And then later on, Hollister Rand joins us to talk about the afterlife. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasour, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.